Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Super excited to share with you the word tonight and all the things that the Lord wants to share with us and inspire us with tonight, encourage us and challenge us and provoke us. But you know, I just actually want to take a moment. This service, the 4 p.m. service, hands up here who's been here for less than 12 months. Give me a wave. You've been here less than 12 months. Yep. Come on. Look at that. Come on. Awesome. And hands up who's been here less than 6 months. Yeah, come on. Look at that. What I love about our 4 p.m. is that it's full of new people who are finding a place where they can gather and belong and connect. And we are working really hard in this season of the life of the church to ensure that you don't just attend a church service, but you find a church that you can belong to. One of the essential things about the family of God, about the church, is that it is a family of God and we do life together. And so one of our big focuses, like Thomas has said, has been about making disciples of every generation. And the three things that we have focused on over the last 3 weeks, I'm going to recap them with you really, really quickly. And on the screen behind me, you're going to see reach, raise, release. And under each and every single one of those, you are going to find our kingdom culture values. Now, some of you are going to look at me and be like, well, what are those and how are they ours? Well, these are values. Now, values actually indicate how you and I behave. Do we agree? So these are our kingdom values. They are things that we've drawn out of the Word of God that we have decided and made a priority as believers to carry. Now, you know, you get values on the wall at your organization and they're aspirational. They're like, kind of like, we dream to be like this. No. This is what we believe every believer should be like. And so these are core values to us as believers here at Pneuma. Now, under reach, we have three values, which is making disciples is not an option. It's not optional for the believer to think that they don't need to make disciples. The Great Commission, Jesus tells us that making disciples is for all of us and that we're to go make disciples of all nations. And so not one of us is excluded on that. And so the question that we ask with this value in our lives individually is, who am I discipling? Who am I discipling? So when we ask ourselves that question, we really need to grapple with the reality of, am I discipling somebody? And then from that place, the next question is, tied to that, is this idea that so to reach someone is actually choosing to go forward and make a disciple. To reach someone, to raise someone, and to release someone. So these are the three things that we are doing as a church. We're reaching people, raising people, and releasing people. And a second value that comes into play when it comes to reach is this idea of that miracles are normal. Now, that might be a really quite challenging idea for you to hear tonight. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it if you've been here under 12 months. But miracles are normal. We believe that the greatest miracle is that of salvation, and that's where it begins. And so miracles need to be a part of our everyday life. There are miracles that take place financially, emotionally, relationally, physically. There are miracles that take place in the life of a believer who prays and asks God to bring heaven to earth. Who wants miracles to be normal? Come on. So the question that is associated with miracles are normal is the supernatural a part of my everyday life? Well, if you're making disciples and you're reaching people, hopefully they're going to lead to a point where they make a decision and you encounter a miracle. Or maybe you're in your workplace and someone's got a headache and you say, rather than pop out a couple of Panadol, let me pray for you. And we engage in this space of the supernatural becoming our norm. And our third value is this, his presence is our priority. Now, His presence is our priority is not just about our Sunday experience in church where you can sense the presence of God. But it's actually about asking the question, am I growing in an awareness of His presence? Who knows? The Lord is not restricted to the ark. He's not restricted to the church building. He's not restricted to this space. You are now temples of a living God. And so now you are carriers of His presence. Who knows? In our everyday life, we get busy. We got places to be, people to see. And so sometimes His presence is not at the forefront of our minds. But in the car, on Spotify, when we're listening to our songs on the way in, but then we go into our moment at the cafe and we're there and we're totally oblivious to what the Lord wants to do. Growing in an awareness of His presence leads us to ask the question, you know, Lord, what do you want to do here in this moment? I'm with this person right now. What do you want to say to them? And having an awareness of His presence. And friends, this is how we reach people. It's so simple. Like, y'all could do it. And then we move from a place of reaching people, we go to the place of actually raising them up. Now, Pastor Thomas and Matthew did a great job on preaching into this space on raising up sons and daughters, raising up disciples, and how are we being formed into a disciple? And I want to suggest to us today that really, in order to be able to raise somebody, you firstly need to start at the bottom value there, which is church's covenant family. Because the question that goes with that is, am I growing in a sense of belonging in the family of God? Do the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that He arranges and combines the body of Christ? This here is the body. And so if you are a part of it, you're choosing not to be an appendage that hangs off the end, but you're choosing to be a part of the body. It means you can ask questions like, hey, how are you doing in your walk with God? And have a conversation that may reflect questions like, what does God's word say about that? And hey, have you prayed about that? Because the other two values that go with raise are the values of God's word is our foundation. So it's not about me and my feelings in this life. It's actually about, well, what does God's word say about it? And am I living that out? And it leads us to a place where we recognize we're raising up disciples who know their God, who know the presence of God, who have a heart to reach others who need to know Him and making disciples. It leads to others asking the question, are you praying about these things in your life? And you can't do that without being in the context of relationship. Would you agree? How many people come up and ask you a question, you'd be like, you don't got no right to ask me that. Well, let me tell you this, if you're a part of the family of God, this isn't a service you come to experience, this is a church, it's a family. Where we come, we reach and we raise, and we live according to the values of the Word of God. And the last one is this, release. And that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. We've got three values that we have really categorized under the release banner. And those three values, again, have questions. And those three values are that love gives generously. When God gave His best in giving us Jesus, was that generous? And so therefore, as a response to His generosity, to His love, we will go and be generous towards others. It's capitalized around John 3:16, that love gives generously, because He first gave, we give. And the question that's associated to that is, am I growing in generosity towards other people? Am I growing in a sense of generosity with what God has given to me to give to somebody else? The second value under release is this of honor affirms value. You know, the question around honor-affirming value in someone is to recognize that they have been created in the very image of God. Therefore, they are worthy of honor. despite age, despite race, despite demographic. Like, no, they are made in His image, therefore they are worthy of honour. And you know, the question that is associated with this value is, for release, is, am I valuing people for who they are, or am I stumbling over what they're not? Because I tell you what, if you can't honour the gift on somebody else's life, you won't release them. If you're stumbling over the dirt before you get to the piece of gold, you'll only ever see the dirt. And so the question for us today is, are we actually seeing people and value people according to how God sees them? And as a part of seeing them, are we choosing to look past the dirt and actually see the gold that's in front of us? That's the only way you can release someone, is if you see them, not for what they aren't, but for who they are and who God designed them to be. And then the third and final one is, freedom is a responsibility. Galatians chapter 5 verses 13 and 14 talks about this idea that we have been given a liberty. We have been given a freedom. And as a response to that freedom, we are to serve someone else. We are to serve the body of Christ. We are to serve one another. And the question that is associated to this value for us today is, am I stewarding my freedom responsibly? Am I stewarding that which God has given to me, my gifts, my talents, to actually serve Him and to serve others and to serve the community and the family that I'm a part of? And so today I really want to speak to us about this idea of that we are actually called to serve God for His glory, and that we would be released to serve and lead. Why don't you open your Bibles with me today from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through to 8. See, it's really important that we catch this today, because how we actually answer the questions that I've just walked through in reach, raise, and release actually determines, number one, the disciple that you are becoming, but it also determines the disciples that you are making. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through to 8, and it says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Don't you love that? I mean, love gives generously, and you are called to be a living sacrifice. I don't know whether you've worked this out, but sacrifices are real. When you have to give up your time for someone else, when you have to give, like, sacrifices are legit cost to you. And the Bible says that you are a living sacrifice, but He also says that this is your reasonable act of service. He goes on and says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," which is why the Word of God is so important, "that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Then Paul goes on to say this, "For I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have been our members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Aren't you glad that your nose doesn't do what your armpit does?" Well, that'd be weird, right? Well, just think about that for a minute. Especially for guys, you know, like, could you imagine just an armpit right here? I mean, that's weird, right? Aren't you glad that your big toe isn't on your nose? Right? Because there are parts to the body that have a function that are called to function within the body. But if they don't have their place, it can get real weird. I don't know about you, but I believe that God has a perfect intention for His church to be a beautiful representation of God to a world that so desperately needs it. But when you and I don't take our place or our space, or we take up a space that we're not called to be in because it's not what we're being gifted or graced to be in, do you know that we kind of walk around like with our big toe hanging off our nose? It's a weird concept, but you have a part to play in the kingdom of God. See, it goes on and it says this. We don't all have the same function, but verse 5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Say this with me. Let us. Let us use them. God is giving you gifts. He has given you a gift. He has given you a talent. He's giving you something within the wiring and the purpose and the DNA of your life to be a part of the body of Christ, to take its place and its function, and to be a blessing to the body. There's not one part that is indispensable in the body of Christ. You know, it's wild. I had my operation when I was like 12 years of age and they took out my appendix. And back then they told me that the appendix, oh, it's just that little appendage that hangs off the end. It doesn't really do anything. And it's gonna pop. And so we need to take it out. You know, they take it out, pain goes away and you're like, oh, okay, I can function. But you know, that part actually plays a part in the body. And even medical people now are like, okay, it plays a part in something. You know, when a part is missing, you notice it. You break your leg, it impacts how you live. God forbid you lose a limb. It affects how you live. Every part has a part to play and a place to be. My question to us today is, what's the part that you're called to play? What's the gift that God has given to you? Because you're called to be a part of a body. Now listen, if you're just visiting and you're just checking out church and you're like, I just want to see if this is a place for me, we pray that you would find this to be a place that you could call home. We would love to connect with you and want to take you on that journey of what it is to be a part of the family of God. Not in some weird, spooky, weird, crazy way, but in the way that you are called to be a part of the body and to find your place and to fulfill it. Goes on and says this about the gifts. It says, if it's prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For it is ministry, let us use it in our ministry. For he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts, exhorts in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberty. Did you know that giving is a gift for some? I've got a guy, 14 years of age. He was 14 years of age. He got an apprenticeship. Started in building, in carpentry. Had a dream, had a vision, wanted to be a builder. He started living out that dream and got to 18 and was a fully qualified carpenter by the age of 18. Started his own business on the side. He knew from the age of 14, in an encounter with the Lord at a camp, that the Lord had called him to make money for the kingdom of God so he could give for the expansion of it. At 14, this kid knew that God had called him to make money to build the kingdom of God. I love it when people find their gifts. I tell you what, he's been a gift to the body of Christ and as a church that I've been a part of in the past. He is now in his mid-30s. That gives you an indication of how old I am. Just delete that from your memory. But he is now an established business operator that has a wildly large company doing phenomenal things within the building industry. And he knows that he's called to use that to bless the body. And he's living out this reality. What gift has God given you? What gift has he given to you? It is important. Not one thing is irrelevant. It goes on and says, he who leads, lead with diligence. He who shows mercy, do so with cheerfulness. Friends, this is a makeup of a letter that Paul has written, and they kind of categorize it as what they, under the motivational gifts. And the Bible says that each one of us has been given a gift. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the ministry gifts. You know, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers. And then in 1 Corinthians, it talks about what we call the manifestation gifts. It's the gifts that manifest out of people through the obedience that they have to lean in, to pray for someone for healing, pray for someone and give them a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for a situation, a circumstance that they're going through. There are gifts that the Lord has given to his people. And friend, I want to suggest today that there is a gift in you. That there is a gift in you that the Lord wants you to discover, so that you can serve him for his glory. His glory and his glory alone. Because there's no such thing as status in serving in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you this right now. I'm up here with a microphone and a platform. That does not make me any greater or better than anybody else. I am simply taking the God-given gift that he has given to me, and I'm stewarding that with you and doing what he's asked me to do. And I want to suggest to you today that there is a gift within you that if you took it and you brought it before the God of heaven, he will lead you into a place that would absolutely astound you. Do you remember the moment where the disciples went out with Jesus and they go out and he sends them out by two? And he says, go out, lay hands on the sick, preach the gospel, raise the dead, cast out demons. Like, do you remember that moment? Matthew chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, it actually records that the disciples came back to him. And they were like, oh, this is amazing. You should see it. Demons were cast out and you're like, it was like people like, ah! And they're so ridiculously excited and ambitiously not so bad, not a bad thing to desire. But he doesn't rebuke their desire. He says, hey, don't celebrate over the fact that you were able to cast out demons in my name, but actually rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And see, friends, there is no status in it when it comes to serving. No one is greater than another. We may have different loads of responsibility, but we are no more valuable than the person sitting next to you and the person's looking you in the mirror when you wake up. We are all given gifts to serve for God's glory. It reminds me of Mother Teresa. You know, Mother Teresa, incredible woman who actually started out as a teacher in her life. And as a result of finding her place in teaching, she ended up in the slums and then chose to live in the slums and live with the people that she was serving. And the Lord called her and she said this, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Great things I just refer to as things with weightier responsibilities. You know, in your own family, if you've got kids, you're like, well, I can ask this kid to do that because they understand the weight of the responsibility. But if I ask this kid to do it, they ain't going to do that, right? Doesn't make this kid better than that kid. They're just different. And according to the gift that he has given you, he's calling you to engage. Whew. I love it. I love that there are many who are reflected in the Bible, talk about the stories of David from a shepherd boy to the palace to being king over Israel. I love it for the people that are in the Bible, like Joseph, who are start out in Potiphar's house, end up in a den, and end up then leading and being second in charge over Egypt. I love it. I love it. I love hearing the stories of like Stephen, who started out waiting tables and ended up being the first martyr. I love hearing the stories that the Bible tells us of people who found their purpose. And they all found their purpose. They're not walking out. They're walking behind stage to come up and be on the bed and like all the things. They got purpose. And I love it. And I want you to turn with me to another passage of scripture. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. And it's really important that you understand that serving for God's glory is about us recognizing the time and seasons that we live in and that which he's given to us for this moment, this time, this season to steward. It says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all, we have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift to minister to one another as good stewards of this manifold grace. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability that God supplies to him in all things, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Friends, Romans tells us that we have gifts, let us use them. The writer of Peter tells us that we are to minister to one another with these gifts. And Galatians, as we said earlier, tells us that we're to use our freedom to serve one another, not to serve ourselves. And I honestly believe that this room is full of people who are actually gifted, graced, and called to find their place with their gift and to use it. I took my dogs for a walk on Saturday morning with my sister who came down to visit, and we'd hang out. We went to the dog park and she's wearing some slides without socks. Now that seems like a heinous crime to me because I believe that slides should be worn with socks. Some may differ with me, including many I know. However, when my sister pulled up at the cafe, she was like, oh, I've got this dirty big blister. I'm like, see, you should wear socks. You should wear socks. But what was really fascinating was that Erin, my housemate, my friend, had been on this walk with us and had walked through the dog park and had actually found a fully encased Band-Aid that was like wrapped in its little wrapping and it was like good to take and to use. And so she, being resourceful as she is, grabs this Band-Aid and she's trying to shove it in the back of her phone where, you know, you can put cards if you've got one of those little slots. And so she's shoving this Band-Aid in there and my sister's like, oh, I've got this blister. And we're lining up for coffee. And my sister's going, oh, I've got this blister. And Erin's standing there going, shoving this Band-Aid into the back of her phone. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, she's like, oh, I found a Band-Aid. I'm like, yeah, awesome. And so she gives it to my sister. Now, I asked her for permission to share this story, so don't panic. She's fully aware of it. But in that moment, it was totally she was completely oblivious to what was happening in the moment. Can I suggest that there's many of us like that in the church today? We've discovered this gift and talent that God has given to us. We're trying to shove it in our back pocket and keep it for a rainy day. All the while, there's a body of believers who need what you have. Yeah, we didn't have drums tonight, not because we decided not to have drums. We didn't have drums because we need a drummer. We only got two drummers right now. If you drum, can I suggest you have a chat to Sam? There's a place for you to take the gift and talent that God has given to you and to use it to actually build the family of God, to actually make a difference in the world that we live in. And I tell you, there's nothing better than the body of Christ operating in her full capacity, because when we walk in the gifts that God has given to us, whether they are motivational, whether they're ministry gifts, or whether they are manifestation gifts, when we are walking in the gifts that God has given to us, we are fulfilling the purpose that He's called us to. Can I suggest to you today, I'm actually going to give you something that's going to help you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, oh, but I don't know what my gifts are. That's okay. We've got a tool that's going to help you. We created something that's actually going to help you discover some of the gifts that you have in order for you to find a place to serve within this context, within this family. And it's not a, you know, just a standard gifts assessment thing that churches do. This is actually designed specifically for this community. Why? Because we actually believe, firstly, number one, that gifts are best discovered in discipleship. And through asking questions, helping you to understand what God has graced you to be able to do naturally. Because I meet many people that are like, yeah, I'm gifted at this. This is what my gift survey said, and I did it, and so this is what I am. Okay. Has that been affirmed by anybody else? Has that been confirmed by anyone else around you? Oh, no. I did the test. Great. But that's kind of like someone sitting here going, oh, I'm an orange tree. Banana. Right? Because you can't make yourself be something that you're not. You will only reproduce that which God has given to you. And I want to suggest to us tonight, friend, that there is a space for you in the kingdom of God to discover how you can serve and lead in the kingdom of God and be a part of this body and contribute. But can I also suggest to you today, it's no good assessing and addressing things if you actually don't apply it. You can discover that you are the banana tree. I don't even know if bananas grow on trees, but bananas. You can discover the fullness of it. But if you don't actually apply it, those bananas will just go to rot. The fruit that falls off your life will just go to rot if it doesn't have a place for it to be distributed, for it to be held in accountability, for it to be outworked. So what can you do? Firstly, can I just say, do the test that you'll find a QR code. I don't know if the QR code, it'll be out in the foyer. There's a gift assessment, and there's a whole thing on how you can join a team and how you can be a part of it. And we actually want to help you discover that. But some of you in this room actually know what gifts you have. You already know it. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. You just need to find your place. There's a team out there tonight in the foyer, 6 posters along the wall where you can actually go and see where you fit and find a place to contribute. But if you're going to do the test, can I suggest that you do the assessment and then sit with someone and have a conversation where a peer, but a mature believer in your life can actually go, yep, you know what? I see that on your life. That they can evaluate the fruit on your life. They can help you bring character into alignment for that. Because I can tell you what, you could be the most gifted person in the room. You could preach 10 times better than me. But if you don't have character, it won't hold you. And we've seen it over and over and over again where character falls and then gifts are gone. Not gone from their life, but gone from the purpose that God had intended them to be and on hold in the season of their life. Because why? Because God cares more about who you're becoming than what you can actually do. He wants you to take what He has given to you and use it, but He wants to make sure you've got the character to carry it. So you need to do an assessment. You need to get some people around you that can affirm the gift that's on your life. You need to walk in character for that thing to be outworked with. And then you need to find a place where you can be released and have accountability around it. I'm simply going to tell you this. There are 2 things you can do tonight. There are teams that you can join, and there's a QR code that you can do that's going to help you find the gift if you don't know what God's put in you. But I want to suggest this to you, my friend. So many people are running around looking for the secret thing that they can add to their life to make their life better, when actually God's already deposited it in you. There is a gold nugget in you. And maybe you've been a part of some other church. Maybe you've been connected somewhere and they couldn't get past the dirt. Maybe. Just maybe. All they could see was the mud and the mire, but yet there's a gold nugget under there that the Lord had planted. Yeah. I tell you, we have a responsibility to pull the gold out of one another. And Paul said it when he was on the platform here before. Someone saw the gold in me and drew it out of me. And that's our responsibility. But here is a rundown for the team so that you know where you can be involved. These teams behind me, you'll see, communications team, which really is all things around content creation for online spaces, web spaces, photography, videography, social media. And they're all the kinds of things that if you walked in here and went, you know what? Someone didn't check that because that is italic and that was bold and that is bold. I'm going to suggest you got a communication gift. Attention to detail, right? Or maybe you're like walked in and you're like, oh, that if someone had have just captured that moment, that would have been a beautiful photo. Can I suggest that that may be a sign for you to engage in the communications space? I don't want to rush some of these things, but for the sake of time and needing to get through it, I need you to ask the questions around yourself about where you can find a space to sit. In our creative space, I've already mentioned it. We need drummers, we need bass players. And when I say we need, we can get by without a drummer, right? Yeah. But sometimes it just feels like there's something missing. You know, like the leg is missing. You might be here and can do that. Maybe you're like, hey, you know what? I really, really appreciate lighting and I'd love to set an atmosphere in this space with lighting and you can get engaged in that space. Maybe it's like you've got great ear for sound and you could contribute in the sound space and production space. Maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I love young people and I want to help young people. I met a guy tonight. I didn't meet him. I know him. He's been a part of our congregation for the last year. And I tell you, his journey is wild. He was sharing with me about how this morning the Lord spoke to him around how he needs to get involved in a space at dealing with at-risk young people because of his own life, his own past, what he lived through, what he's gone through. He now wants to help somebody else. There's no greater joy than watching people find what they are discovered for and their purpose being found in it. Whew. But maybe you're in that space. We've got everything from kids ministry to youth ministry to young adult ministry, our adults ministry. We've got people in our mature adult space, which is Empower ministry. You know what? I get to hang out with the Empower group this week. They're a group for over 60, 65, somewhere around there, that get together here and they have a little gathering, a little worship service, and preach and teach and they pray and they have conversations and they disciple one another. They're mentoring a bunch of our young adults in this space. They're an incredible group of people. I get to hang out with them on Wednesday and speak the word of God to them. Yeah, I'm so excited to do that. I love watching people take that which God has given to them. There's no greater joy than watching someone contribute and a grandfather fathering a son or a grandfather fathering a child. Because there's a place for everybody. Discipleship. We've got everything from Life Keys courses to foundations to life groups to water baptisms. You know, the life group wall out there, it'll help you find a life group near where you are. If there's not one in your suburb, it probably means that it needs one. So maybe you could open your home and allow someone to come in and lead a group. Or maybe you're actually called to lead one and you could lead one and open it up and people could come in and find a place to be discipled. Maybe there's outreach, there's street teams, there's Red Frogs outreach for university students. We've got open house for our young people. We've got healing rooms. There's so many things that you can engage in. Our Sunday service specific is kids ministry and our service teams with all things welcoming people. Maybe you're just super friendly and you walked in here and you're like, man, I wish they were more friendly. Hey, how about you join the team? How about you be the one that could welcome people and make them feel welcome? Or maybe you're like, you know what, that whole hospitality thing, I love to cook, I love to be able to prepare. Maybe you could come in and be a part of the team
that outworks all of our Mother's Day, our Father's Day, our Christmas, our Easter. Maybe you could find a space that you could contribute in that space. Or maybe you're like, I just like straight up task things where I don't have to talk to anyone. Right? That's okay. I know you all exist. That's all right. Maybe you can be the one that literally comes in and sets up all the chairs and gets them real straight. I love a straight chair. Maybe you've been gifted with the grace of administration and you could administrate and sort chaos and work your way out of anything. There's a space for you. Talk to our teams, our kids' teams. They've got spaces where they're like, it'd be great if we could have a couple of volunteers come in throughout the week to help us with. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the family of God. If you've got a gift and a grace, God's calling you to use it. There's space for you. Join a team. Find a place in which you can serve and lead because that's what you've been released to do. Is that okay? All right, why don't you stand to your feet? I hope tonight that you've heard the heart of God for you to find a place where you can connect, where you can grow, and where you can contribute. Our desire is that we together would facilitate a space and an environment where people can come in and encounter the Lord. I love our 4 p.m. service, but I would love to see our 4 p.m. service spilling over into the other sections and spilling over into the back spaces where people are being reached, where they're being raised, where they're being released to do the same. Can I suggest this to you? Firstly, you came to church tonight because someone invited you or someone talked to you about church and you ended up in a church, or maybe you grew up in a church because your parents took you to church. Some way, somehow, you got here because somebody else. Why don't you be that somebody else for somebody else? You were raised to know the Word of God and maybe you're still developing in that. Why don't you be that for somebody else? You just have to be one step in front to lead someone else. Maybe tonight you're here and you're like, I've been waiting for someone to ask me to get involved because I've been hanging to get engaged in the life of the church. Hey, come and have a chat in the foyer. Tonight our team are going to be waiting out there for you. Is that okay? All right, why don't you close your eyes? We're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for this incredible group of people that you have given gifts, talents, graces to. I thank you, Lord, that for each one of them, there is a gold nugget inside of them. And I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to discover that in someone else and to draw it out. Lord, to see people use the gifts and talents that you've given to them, to walk in the purpose that you have for them, and enable this church to be what you've called her to be, to reach, raise, and release the next generation. I thank you, Lord, for this group. And I pray, Holy Spirit, would you provoke hearts tonight to step in and make a decision to become a part of it and not just go to a service, but to be a part of the family of God. I thank you for each and every single person here today, that you see them, that you know them by name, that you love them and you want to release them into the fullness of who you've called them to be. Lord, help us to steward what you've given to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.